Let's pray and pray for the kids as they head out to Sunday school this morning. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity just to come before you, Holy God, and just be in your presence. Pray for the kids as they head out to Sunday school. You bless them in a mighty way. And as for those of us now just waiting on you, being you in the word, Father God. Pray, Father God, you just speak to us, that you use me despite my many weaknesses, that this be about you, Father. Open our hearts and ears, Jesus, so we can grow in your name. Amen. Amen. So as we're into Advent, Advent's one of those funny things that it's a personal time, because some people don't change their habits. Some people may focus more on preparing themselves, more devotions. Each person's to their own. Some people may go, well, do you know what? I'm just living for Christ anyway. Where some people, Advent kicks in and life just looks different. So really, it's kind of down to you. There is no biblical principle of this is how you do Advent. It's one of those things that the church is brought in. So it's very much a personal reflection time for people. So in saying that, this morning, I'm preaching still from our readings that we've been doing this year. So I'm using Matthew 13 with an emphasis on Advent, in that Advent is about preparation, preparing for the coming of the King. We are at a time where we say we're preparing for the King, yet we can't ignore the fact that he came. We're preparing for something that's happened, that he came, he lived, he died, he rose again. We experienced the Holy Spirit. We are living in light of the resurrection. We are living in a time that we are preparing ourselves for the second coming of the King. And so, looking at Advent, in a day and age where we're also preparing ourselves. And so people will say and ask, well, how do we prepare ourselves for the end times? Some people will love looking through Revelation or other books in Scripture of going, I'm looking out for signs. People will look out for signs. And I'm thinking, if we're just looking out for signs, is that meaning once you see a sign, then you'll live for Christ? Or should we just be living for Christ? And so in Matthew 13, the sermon that I'm doing from our reading this week, it's a bunch of parables that you know. I mean, I'm hoping you know. I mean, let's face it, that song we just sung, being washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you don't know your scriptures, that's a freaky song. I mean, it's creepy if you don't know that Jesus is the Lamb of God. I mean, that's how serious rooting. If you're, there may be someone sat here, you've been going to church, you know, and then you're singing that going, I have to wash myself in the Lamb's blood? What? But because hopefully we do know that it's Jesus, his blood shed for us, gave himself for us to have life, that through him saying yes, through him saying, Jesus, I believe, then we inherit life everlasting. That's why we can sing with boldness that we are washed by the blood, that we are saved, we are redeemed because of that sacrifice. But if we don't root ourselves and know, then that's just scary. Matthew 13, these parables, a lot of them start with the kingdom of God is like this or is like that. God's kingdom is everywhere. I think I said this in a sermon not too long ago. A kingdom is where that king or queen reigns or rules. So the United Kingdom is where the queen is. God's kingdom, heaven, earth, in us, it's everywhere. So for us to live in a day where we're preparing ourselves for the second coming, for Christ's return, how do we prepare ourselves and yet be in light of being in his kingdom? This parable, these parables teach us how to prepare ourselves. They teach us what an authentic life in Christ looks like. This is how we prepare ourselves. This is what true Christian living is. And Jesus says it in these parables. So we're going to go through these parables, and we've got a few points to learn from them. So the title is Authentic Living in Christ Equals, by using parables of Matthew 13. Number one, let's see if this thing works. Is it working back there? Is the beam working? It's working, look, you can see that. Hey, Joe, can you use your special finger and just press next? Can you do that? You're working on it? Try the arrow. Oh, no, there it is. Okay. You even try simple technology. How about this? Press it next. Oh, hello. Well done. Was that a sarcastic applause? Unbelievable. Right, here we go. Joe, you're going to have to work. It's only 5 clicks, so you should be fine. Number one, authentic living in Christ is intentional growth. We're using this passage here from parable in Matthew 13 of the scattering seeds. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns and grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as ever been planted. Anyone who has ears to hear should listen and understand. In life, we make choices. But in some areas, we kind of just landed in situations. For example, where you were born, who your parents are. For most of us, our upbringing. None of us chose where we were born. That's the scattering. Some of us, for me personally, I can look back and thank God that I was probably brought up in a fertile soil, that my parents, Christian, went to a good church, good youth group. In all honesty, as I reflect in my life, the thorns in my life, most of them are what I have brought into my life. The thorns, those sins, temptations, distractions of growth in Christ, I've probably self-produced those. Whereas I've heard some of your testimonies. I know some of you were born in a culture that maybe you were on that path, that those birds came and just plucked. By God's grace, that you didn't get plucked. Some of you worked very hard to get into this country, to get some freedom. There are people in this world that are living in countries that are getting bombed, terrorists, slaughtering. And I'll be honest, it baffles me when I hear Christians say things like, we should close borders. If someone comes from that country, don't let them in. Are you serious? Are we that un-Christ-like that they didn't choose to be born in that country? Absolutely do checks. But to say, when I hear people say, oh, yeah, we should keep those kind of people out, are we saying that they chose to be in that situation? I remember walking along a beach in Turkey a couple of years ago with Jen, and the same beach that we were on just a couple of weeks beforehand, a toddler had been washed ashore, a Syrian toddler had been washed ashore because their family was desperately trying to flee the conflict the terror that was happening in their country. Some things we can make choices. Sometimes it's where life just lands. And I know some of you landed, even in this country. Maybe your parents were not Christian. Maybe abusive. Maybe the friends that you were with were not good friends. Maybe abusive. But by God's grace, you're able to find that soil. You're able to root yourselves to Him. Maybe you still have friends and family that are still on that footpath. Maybe you have family, friends that you grew up with that aren't here today, with you today, because of where they were landed. But we also have choices to make. If you, when you look at that parable, think, man, I have a lot of thorns in my life. I have a lot of temptations. I have a lot of people trying to choke me out. We still have a choice. We can still choose where to direct our eyes, even those moments on our own, to choose who to pray to, who to root ourselves to. Authentic living in Christ, preparing ourselves for His coming, preparing ourselves just to live for Him, is intentional growth. You have to choose today, am I going to choose to live for Christ? Am I going to choose to read His word? Am I going to know His plan for me? Here's the thing. You may be sitting here going, I'm cool. I'm in that good, fertile soil. But are you producing crops? Or are we just comfortable? Are we doing what Christ is saying in that intentional growth is actually producing more? Because that's what Jesus is teaching. That's what a good, healthy crop looks like. It produces more. Do we even desire that? Or are we comfortable where we're at? So authentic living in Christ, being Christ-like, number one, is intentional growth. No matter what situation you're in right now, do you desire to grow? Do you desire to root yourself to God? Number two, so good. Authentic living in Christ equals holistic impact. The parable of the yeast. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. I'm sure we can add men can make bread as well to that, but Jesus just said women. It's like a woman making bread. Even though she only put a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Now, I'm trying to think of a time I've ever baked bread, and I'm not sure there is many. So I struggled to relate to this, but then I thought of even a drop in an ocean makes a ripple, has an impact. We can even understand this illustration of even the tiniest of yeast into that flour has a huge impact. It makes change. Holistic, by the way, means everything. Mind, body, soul. Christ's impact into our lives isn't just for a Sunday morning, isn't just for now, it's for all aspects of life. If we're intentionally desiring growth, that has to make, it has to impact our lives. There has to be change. There has to be something different for it to be that important. First of all, does that change who we are? Has accepting Christ in your life made an impact in the way you talk, things that you watch, things that you do? Or has it had no impact at all? Has the impact of Christ impacted you so much that somebody else now looks at you and goes, wow, they're different. There's something different about that person. Even you, as that one person being impacted by Christ can make an impact into the community that you are in, whether it be your family, your workplace, local community, even the church. You can make that difference with Christ in you. It's contagious in a good way. When one person gets on fire, I love it hanging out with a new Christian. When they just get it, when someone just grasps this is truth, it's contagious because you want it to then tell somebody else and then somebody else. I love hanging out with those people that have just got it. They've suddenly just, the penny dropped that Jesus is true. He has love and life for them. Life changes, and they just want to share it with different people. For the church, we need those people because it sparks us. Go, yeah, I remember 30 years ago when that was me. I want to be sharing that with other people. So intentional living for Christ is holistic impact. And I want to add to that lasting impact. It's not just a fad. It lasts. Number three, authentic living in Christ equals purpose. You've been created with purpose. You're not a fluke. You're not a random act. Each and every person here has been created with purpose, designed by the author of creation. The mustard seed. Here's another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. I picture the church. A church has purpose. It should have purpose. Now, this tree isn't to just grow up from something small, one or two, and then they start a house church, they move to a community building, and they save up and then build a building and have a nice big building and go, look how big our tree is. We are the biggest tree in the whole of this forest, or in churches. We're the biggest church in the whole of this city. Ain't we grand? That's not the design. The design is to be fruitful. A healthy church isn't largest numbers. We got the measuring stick wrong. The healthy church is a church that's producing more crops and producing fruits. Making disciples, but also being that impact, a constant holistic impact. Here, this is where the birds would shelter and find rest. As a church, what is our purpose? We have to be the hands and feet of Christ. Yes, we have to gather and worship and praise and pray and remember the Lord's Supper and baptism, life, death, celebrating journey that we are on together. But we are also meant to make that impact. To say, how can we be that tree that branches out into our local community? Are we a place that if we were to uproot as a church body, buy a building, I don't know, 5 miles out of town where new communities are building, would this neighborhood go, oh, please don't move. We really need you as a church here. Would they? I mean, maybe that's a bit of a harsh question, but I don't know. We need to be at a place where they would be kicking and screaming, saying, no, we need you here. We need the church in this community. That's the place we got to get to. Not about being our big almighty, but about being a church that's impactful and a church with purpose, bearing fruits. But then also as an individual, you've been created with purpose. You've been given gifts, talents, not just to use on stage, and we're thankful for those that use that, but whether it be hosting people, whether it be giving generously, whether it be teaching or preaching, or looking after others, or with finance, management. There's so many giftings that God has given each and every one of us to be part of that church, to be with purpose. So, intentional living in Christ is purpose. Number four, intentionally living in Christ is making priorities. And I'm going to add to that are constant priorities. The parable for this is the hidden treasure and the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for the choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Have you found that pearl? Have you found that treasure that is high above everything else, that doesn't compare to anything else? This treasure that this man first found was so good, he was willing to sell everything else. To say, do you know what? I don't need anything else. All I need is this. For that pearl merchant, he found that pearl, nothing could compare to it. That's Christ. Is he number one in our lives? Here's the problem. We're quite often when people are trying to discover or you talk to people about Jesus, is too often the response is, if God was real, this wouldn't be happening in the world. If God was real, then that person wouldn't be like that. We try to make God fit into our box. Just the other day, a couple of weeks ago, Jeffrey and I went for a Tim's, went for a coffee. We had a good time, and we finished, and we were putting our coats on. And the lady was at a table next to us, perked up as we were getting our stuff on and saying, lads, don't forget to buy a lottery ticket this weekend. I was like, huh, okay, why? And she said, well, it's the big draw. Oh, okay, right, random, awkward, and thank you, putting our coat still on. And then she said, it's my second God. Huh, backed up, sat next to her. We had a little conversation. And she said, yeah, this is my second God. I said, what's your first God? Me. I said, oh. She says, I'm an atheist. Then we kind of looked at each other, Jeffrey and I. She'd obviously been listening to our conversation, you know, and wanted to pipe in there. But anyway, fine, let's have a conversation. And so Jeffrey was sharing with her, and I was sharing with her. And she said, well, if God was real, she did this, if God was real, why would this be happening in the world? She says, I've put God on a shelf, and if he proved himself to me, then I'll bring him out. I'm like, really? And then we talked a little bit more. And she said, well, okay, now and again I might pray. So I said, so you're a praying atheist? I said, how about if we're saying God is real, why don't you get to know God? Why don't, if we're saying God is true, why don't you say, what is God like? And rather than him fit into my life, how do I see my life in him? I said, ah. And we had a little conversation and then we left it. But it just made me think, man, that's quite often people's case is, if God is real, he has to fit into my thinking. Rather than, God is so good, God is true, I need this in my life, and I'm even willing to give up not just possessions, but even my old way of thinking or life. To go, this is so good. We have it back to front. But then I think it's a constant thing. There's a danger that for us, if we get a bit too comfortable in our soil, different pearls start coming. And they start to get a little bit too close to the greatest pearl in our life. We start to compromise, whether it be church, Bible studies, prayer time, time in the Word, time serving, just being in Christ. We try to find other things to give us that buzz. We hold on to other things maybe a bit too tightly. There's a danger when we're not constantly intentionally growing. It's a constant thing. Constantly saying, Jesus, how do this apply to my life? How do I grow in you? There's a danger when we don't desire to be impactful. There's a danger when we don't desire anymore to be a purposeful. Because then we're losing grip of that treasure and we're bringing other things. What is that treasure? Are we making that our top priority in our life? And finally, number five, authentic living in Christ. It's got to be a desperate to share. Using the parable here of the fishing net, also could have used the wheat and the weeds, but they're very similar. So, parable of the fishing net. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it up on the shore and sat down and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand all these things? Yes, they said. Are we desperate to share the good news? Authentic living in Christ isn't keeping this as a secret if we get it, if it's truth. Sometimes we just like to see Jesus as that pal, that friend. We don't ultimately see it as there is judgment. There is death for those that do not know that. I once read an author saying, how much can you hate someone not to tell them about Jesus? How much do you want someone to go to hell that you're willing not to share your faith with them? We have to take this seriously. I was going to have it named, you know, living in Christ is taking it serious. But ultimately, it's that sharing. Being away this week in a crowded place, you know, brushing against people, I'm thinking, how many of these people know Jesus? Sitting on a plane with this sermon going through my head, sitting next to a stranger, I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Okay, let's try and have this conversation. It's not always easy. I always thought my calling to be an evangelist was be on a stage. But that's easy because people are sitting listening to you. Try and get into a conversation with someone. Yesterday, I thought, okay, here we go. There was a guy next to me that everyone else was avoiding. This guy was head to toe in tattoos, looked pretty rough looking. I saw him in the airport. I thought, uh-oh. But anyway, I ended up, my seat was next to him. That's the way it always goes, right? I'm like, okay, cool. Right, so I'm sitting next to this dude. He was lovely. He was a real charming guy. He was showing me all his tattoos. He took his hat off, and it was all over his head and all around his neck and stuff. I'm like, ouch. He's from Mexico. He was a real nice guy. He got caught up in a wrong culture growing up or whatever and got in trouble. But we're talking and talking about his Catholic background. You know, but I was desperate. Okay, Johnny, this, you know, God's put him next to you for a reason. How do we get in this? So I talked about being a pastor. He kept changing the subject. I talked about the purpose of Christmas. He kept changing the subject. You know, I was like, come on, you know, the meaning of life. I'm just trying to get into, you know, this person. In the end, I was like, okay, here's my card. If you ever start thinking about life, give me a call, you know. But just desperate desire. Do we have a desperate desire for even those people that we come in contact with to know Jesus? I mean, they're not all going to grab the bait. Hopefully, they may leave with a thought. I mean, that lady that we were talking with at Tim's, hopefully there's a seed there somewhere. At least got to try and desire to share the good news if it's that good to you. Think of those people that we come in contact with. Whether it be family people, whether it be our work colleagues. Here's the thing. Christmas is a perfect time to share about Jesus. Because everyone's excited about Christmas. Well, a lot of people are excited about Christmas. But the reality is, it's not all about Christ. Where we were this week, I am sick of hearing happy holidays. Happy holidays, happy holidays. No, it's Christmas. Unbelievable. I tell you, I was getting closer to even taking the Christmas tree off the stage. I'm thinking, anyway, I got off that, sorry. But seriously, this is an opportunity. When people talk about what you do for Christmas, why do you enjoy Christmas? This is an opportunity. Easter as well. And it's not just about bringing them to church on a Christmas Eve. It's them what? Last week, we got a great turnout for the Cantata. Great job, by the way, in bringing people. But as I reflect, it's, but now what? What now? This is where you follow up with them. What did you think of that? What did that song mean to you? What does Christmas mean to you? Maybe let's use this season in Advent to pray and say, God, who in my life can I just be brave with? And it is striking up a conversation and potentially someone laugh at you or go, no, thank you. It's sometimes difficult. But are we desperate enough even to make ourselves uncomfortable so that one person can know the truth of Christmas, truth of Christ in their lives, to make an impact, to find a purpose, to find that treasure that they can say, you know, I don't need that other stuff in life. I've got Jesus, and now I want to be fruitful. How desperate are we this Advent season to be authentically living for Christ? That's the prayer. That's the desire. Authentic living in Christ is intentional growth, holistic and lasting impact, purpose, making priorities, and it's got to be shared. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for life in you, for freedom in you, that we can sing truth, that we are washed in your blood, that we know you, been saved by you. Thank you that each and every person here today is loved, delighted in you, that each person here today has been made with purpose, that we've not been created just to survive, but we've been created to thrive in you, Father God. So allow us to focus on you. Allow us to intentionally grow deep into you, to know you more, to know more of your plans, your way, so that we grab hold of you more, to make you our far by number one priority in life. Lord God, if there's anything in us that is not of you, chisel it away, make it known. Holy Spirit, convict us of those, that we can make change, make choices to put you first. Lord God, I pray. Now, Lord God, place someone on our hearts. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a work colleague that has maybe talked to you in the past about this. Maybe whoever it is. Father God, we just ask that you just place that person on every single person's heart. That this season, when we come in contact, that you just give us the words. Like you give Moses words. Like you give Jeremiah words. Even though we doubted, and they doubted, that you gave them the words. Pray, Father God, give us those opportunities. We may not see the fruit right away like the guy next to me in the plane, but Father, we ask for that seed to be planted, Father God, that they can grow in you. Jesus, as we prepare ourselves, Father God, allow us to live authentically in you. Genuine life in the name of Jesus. To reflect to all that we know the true meaning of Christmas, and it's Christ. And we'll live it, not just for these few weeks, but every day of our lives, Father God. Because you are worthy of us living for. You are worthy for us to give up all other things and put you number one. Allow it to show in our lives, Jesus. In your awesome name, amen.